You're the former League of Women Voters president of the entire, you know, the US League of Women Voters. I mean, what did your work focus on, Elizabeth, when you were the president?
Well, we focused very much on what we are focusing on right now at the national, state, and local level, and that is making sure that everyone has the right, the desire, the knowledge, and the confidence to participate in our democracy. And that, of course, translates into working on improving, protecting the right to vote, improving our election processes, making voting as accessible as possible to everyone who is eligible, to every eligible voter, and making sure that our votes count more than special interest money, and count because our districts are fair and representative of the actual populations in the states.
In the current political climate, do you have any concerns around any of those areas that you just identified?
You know, we always have to be, vigilant, and we always have to pay attention to protect our voting rights and to protect our access in the political process. Democracy, as we say, is not a spectator sport, and so we got to make sure that people are involved, that people have the information that they need in order to make their voices heard, and we make our voices heard in a democracy through our votes. That's how we empower voters, and that's how we defend our democracy.
There have been some issues raised in certain states about laws being passed that actually limit voter access and voter rights, whether it's, you know, identification laws or other issues coming through or gerrymandering around districting. Are there specific areas of concern that you have right now around election integrity and voter access in the U.S.?
Well, obviously, we have still got the barriers that were erected over the last decade or so, including voter photo ID, is still something that exists in many states, including the state that I live in. We have worked to defeat those laws, and we always work to defeat those laws in the state house. Frequently, we resort to the courthouse, but if all else fails, then we have to. It's our obligation, as fellow voters, to help folks overcome those barriers and make sure that the barrier is not, in fact, a barrier. And we're working in states like Georgia and Kansas that have strict, and Wisconsin, where we have strict voter photo ID laws that have gone into effect to make sure that citizens and eligible voters are able to overcome those barriers. Redistricting is an issue in almost every state, and I know it is a high priority in Colorado right now. Reforming that process in advance of the 2020 census, making sure that the census is fair, that everyone in the United States is counted, because everyone is entitled to representation in under our Constitution, are really, really important issues, and this is a critical time right now. So as I said, I know that that is a high priority issue for the leagues in Colorado. And they're a high priority issue for the leagues all across the country. And of course, there is, since the beginning, since the founding of our republic, we have always had issues with money in politics. And so we have got to be vigilant, and we've got to pay attention to those special interests and pay attention to that money, and to make sure that our processes are as transparent as possible, that we have strong ethics laws in place at all levels of government.
Now, you mentioned the census, and in the context of redistricting and the most recent news coming out about asking about people's immigration status on the upcoming census has drawn a lot of criticism around a variety of different issues. But could you talk about the impact of something like that on issues like redistricting?
Well, obviously, if we don't get an accurate count, then we cannot draw fair, we can't draw fair lines. We can't, everyone is entitled to representation. And so if we don't know, if we don't have an accurate count of who lives where and who lives in a particular state or in a particular district, then we're not going to be able to draw lines that accurately represent everyone in the United States. And the League definitely has, you know, taken a strong stand opposing that citizenship question. It's not necessary. It does not lead to an accurate count, and it should not make any difference. Again, the Constitution says we count everyone. It doesn't say we count just some people.
In terms of the league itself, it has a long history here in the United States, and now we're seeing a very youth-led movement, certainly in the wake of the school shootings, and we're seeing a lot of activism now on the part of young people, even people who are not of voting age yet. Is the league been able to harness any of that youthful energy, and what have been some of the challenges in either diversifying league membership and league activities in an age sense, but also, you know, in some of the other areas in terms of ethnic diversity, racial diversity, diversity of people from other backgrounds? Is this something that the league is taking on?
Absolutely. And, you know, the league was, we were founded nearly 100 years ago by the women who fought so hard to get voting rights for women. So, you know, we believe firmly in the power of women to create a more perfect democracy. But by the same token, everybody's voice matters, and varying points of view is what strengthens our democracy. Bringing those experiences into the public arena, raising issues that are important to various diverse communities is critical to making sure that we are the best democracy that we can possibly be. And so we welcome the activism that we have seen. It is wonderful to see folks getting out at a very young age and talking about the issues that matter to them, that impact their lives, that they are passionate about. And all I can say is we always encourage folks to remember that a lot of it took several generations for women to get the right to vote. And the civil rights movement, generations to make sure that racial and language minorities had effective voting rights in this country. We all have to be in this for the long haul, and the most important thing that any activist can do in order to express their passion is first to register and to vote, but also to stay organized and to look at those legacy organizations and those organizations that have been around for a while and know how to organize in a community, because without organization, it is difficult for a single voice to be heard above all of the din out there, particularly through social media and all of the other avenues that folks have. But staying organized, staying together, staying true to a cause is what got women the right to vote. It is what got us the Voting Rights Act, which is probably one of the most brilliant pieces of legislation ever passed by the United States Congress. It's what got us civil rights laws. It's what's gotten us where we are today, and we need to remember that.